I'm always intrigued by this passage. This is a favorite passage of mine. In Jeremiah 18, verse 1, there's a word from the Lord that says it like this. This is what the word that come to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I'll give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from clay was mired in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it best as it seemed to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time to be in your house. We thank you for your word, and we pray today that this passage would shape and mold us and grow us, Father, in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. In case you've fallen by the wayside of life, and all the things you have accomplished are now out of sight. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. For the potter, he wants to make you whole once again. All you who are broken, stop by the potter's house. All you who are weary, stop by the potter's house. Jeremiah teaches us a message that you might be broken, you might be shattered, you might be messed up, but we have a potter that's able to make us whole once again. Do you believe that this morning? In this passage, it's pretty cool. We have three different pieces. We have the potter, we have the clay, and we have the wheel. And each one of these things have some symbolism to them. And so let's pick through them. The potter is the easiest. And so who would the potter represent? It's okay, y'all can talk. It's good. I like it when you talk. So the potter represents God. And then we get to the clay, and it's just not clay. What kind of clay is it? It's mired. It's mired clay. That's messed up clay. So who does the messed up clay represent? The people of God. That's us, the people of God. Now the wheel is a little different. The wheel, there's different interpretations, but I believe the wheel represents the situations and the circumstances in your life that's going on. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. What do you see? He said, I see the potter. You see, this is really important. You can go to the potter's house, and you can see everything in the potter's house and not see the one you came to see. You can go to the potter's house, and you can see the clay that he's working on. You can see the knives that he uses to cut on the clay with. You can see the potter's wheel that he used to turn the clay. You can see the water that he uses to put on the clay. You can see the building. You can see the shelves. You can see the unfinished pottery at work. You can see the glazing process going on. But you can go in and see all those things and not see the one you came to see. How is it? How is it that we come to church and we can see everything around us? We can sing about the potter. We can read about the potter. We can hear about the potter, but yet not come in contact with the potter. It's not enough to sing about him, just to come to his house. It's not enough to talk about him. You need to be in contact with this immovable mover. And when you come in contact with the immovable mover, he will change your life, I promise. I promise. And what's going on? This is important. If the potter's present, what's going on? There has to be some work going on if the potter's present. He's got something on the wheel. Don't you love to watch a potter work with some pottery and clay? Do you like? Who likes to see that? Raise your hand. I like to see that. I like to go Little Nashville, and there's a guy down there, there's a lady down there now that shapes and works with pottery. I love to watch your work. I think it's fascinating. And they put that on there. They begin to shape and do fun things with it, and it's amazing. But when the potter is in the house, there's some work going on in the house. That makes me question. When I go to a church and they ain't done nothing in 20 years, it makes me question a few things. If I go to a church and nothing's happening, I have to question, is the potter really there? And maybe the potter's not there. They just put a steeple on that building. And sometimes, maybe the potter is there, and maybe they're just not in tune with the potter. I don't know, but something's going on in that house that's not right, because there's no productivity happening in that house. I'm so grateful to be a part of the church that the potter's present in, because I can see some work going on. I see lives being changed. That excites me. That excites me. I walked in to do a funeral. It's been a while back. And the funeral director, he was a real nice guy. I liked him. But he looked like Lurch off the Addams Family. I kid you not. I didn't want to show his picture up here, but I kid you not. He looked just like Lurch off the Addams Family. And so I'm going to his church. We're showing up at his church, and I show up to do this funeral. And I walk up, and he said, "Jimmy, this is where I go to church at. I want to show you around." And so I start walking into the church. It's the old wooden floors, and it creaks as you walk through. I go into the worship area, and it looks like something off the Little House on the Prairie. It's from the 1800s. They didn't even have cushions on the seats. They still had those old wooden oak pews that you sit in. And I got to tell you, anybody that spent an hour sitting on an old oak pew, you know what they feel like? How many people sit on one of them things for an hour? Just raise your hand. Yeah, you know what exactly. I remember as a kid, my dad was in Virginia, and they had those pews that were wooden. And, buddy, we could slide from one end to the other. We just... Then he takes me downstairs. I go to the children's area. And I kid you not, Derek, it was the old wooden tables back years ago and the old wooden chairs. And it looked like the original paint that was painted back in the 1800s. I think it was original. About this much dust was on the table and the chairs. And as we walked up the stairs, he said, "Now we're a part of the historical society. We've been working hard at this. We're a part of the historical society." Matter of fact, there's some young people coming to this church a while back. We had some people coming in, and they thought we needed to build onto the building, and we wouldn't let them because it wouldn't allow us to be in the historical society. We have kept this building historical. And the people who built that building would have rolled over in their graves because they didn't build that building to be a part of the historical society. They meant for it to be a life-saving station for the Lord. And so the dust from the basement has now crept into the pews. And I was burying one of the last 15 members of their church. The guy I was burying, his job was to turn on the lights and turn them off at the end of the day. May we not be that church. May we not be that church. I got to tell you, my Jesus can bless. And you don't have to have fancy carpet. You don't have to have fancy chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. You just have some light bulbs stuck in the ceiling. My God can use that too. You don't have to have fancy pews. You can have some metal chairs. My God can use that just the same. If the potter's present, there's going to be some work going on. I'm glad that he's been working here. I love it when we see people come up in their lives into service. I always look forward to invitation time. I love to hear Mark preach, but I tell you what, I love invitation time when people come forward to say, "I want my life to be changed. I need to become in contact with the potter." Man, they come down here, they're praying, they're laying things down, they're coming and wanting to be baptized or rededicated. When the Lord is moving in people's hearts, I'm excited. And we'll stay as long as we want. I like that. I enjoy that. I enjoy what's happening right here and what God's doing. And let me say, I think he's just getting started. I think he's just getting started. Last week was, I tell you what, Pastor Mark was up here. He was leading the guitar, and I'm telling you what, me and a group of guys back there, I tell you what, we were trying to seat people. And if you moved over because we squished you over, thank you for moving over. We were trying real hard. You didn't have too many empty seats in this place. We were seating everybody everywhere we can. We had the aisles filled up over there and over there. We were seating people looked at, there might have been a spot here and a spot there, but there weren't too many. Matter of fact, there were 787 people with us last week. How about that? 787 people here worshiping God in this place. I said, surely there's, we could have squeezed it up to 800 if we'd just said, if we'd counted all the people beside themselves, we'd have been 800. The lives are being changed. Hearts are being touched. People are coming to the Lord. I'm grateful. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. I see the potter. It's important when you come to church that you find the potter. And let me say this, and I'm serious. If you have to wait till everybody leaves this place to make that connection, you stay in this room as long as you want till you find that connection with the potter. You take some time to pray. You take some time to connect. It's not enough just to sing about him. You need to be in contact with that immovable mover in your life. We need that. We need that. And then he says, there's clay. And this kind of hurts my feelings, but we represent the clay, right? And this kind of bothers me because it calls it mired clay. And if you're mired clay, let me explain mired clay to you. You think, well, maybe it's a little rough. No, no. Mired clay has rocks in it. Mired clay has dirt clods in it. Mired clay has straw in it. Mired clay, it's not soft and pliable. It's hard. It's been left set out too long. And buddy, it doesn't want to yield to the hands. But my potter, let me say, he's patient. Do you understand the patience of my potter? Do you understand the patience of your potter? He takes that hard, rock-filled, dirt-filled clay and he puts it on the wheel. He dumps some water on it just to soften it up just a little bit, and he begins to turn the wheel, and he puts his hands on it. And all of a sudden, there's a dirt clod that jumps out of the clay and bruises the palm of his hands, and he stops the wheel, and his mud smears all around the clay, and he takes his knife, and he cuts some mud out of it. Now, we squeal. We squeal because we don't like it. It hurts us a little bit. He's cutting dirt out of our lives. We like to keep it for just a little while longer, Lord. Don't you know I need that dirt just a little while longer? He said, no, I don't want it a part of you anymore. We got to cut that dirt out of you. So he cuts some dirt out of you. We whine and we complain and we're belly aching, talking about how hard it is. We get cutting that dirt out of us. He puts his hands back on us, puts a lot more water because you know good and well we don't want to yield to anything. We're tough, we're rough, and we're hard. And he puts some more water on us, and he puts his hands on us, and he begins to try to shape us a little bit, and all of a sudden the rocks jump out, and it cuts the palm of the potter's hands and makes him bleed a little bit, and blood swirls around on the clay, and he stops, and he starts picking out the rocks in that clay. He picks out some straw and some sawdust and nastiness out of it. We whole time, we're squealing, we're whining, we're complaining because we don't like it. It hurts us cutting that stuff out of us, but he's still putting water on us. He's still trying to bathe us a little bit, trying to soften us up a little bit. But he continues to put his hands on us and try to mold us, even though we fight him. Don't mistake this. We fight him, don't we? We fight him. We like being hard. We like being in this shape. We don't want to mold. We like this shape. So we're hard to mold, and he keeps his hands on us. You understand the patience of the potter? Hadn't the potter been patient with you? The only reason Jimmy Johns can stand up here and preach to you today is because my God is patient with mired clay. He's been patient with me. Been very patient with me. I'm so grateful I didn't get what I deserved. Aren't you? I'm grateful. I got a better wife than I deserve. And I got better kids than I deserve. And right now, there's a cat that runs around my house, Mark. Sorry. I even got a better cat. I even got a better cat than I deserve. I got to tell you that. I just have a way of getting better than I deserve. Anybody else get better than you deserve? And so, he's a patient potter. Where's the molding going on at? Got to point this out. Where's that molding going on at? It's in the potter's house. It wasn't a trick question. I don't mark those out trick questions here and there. I ain't done that to you. I don't believe in it. It ain't a trick question. It's happening in the potter's house. That's where it's happening at. You go into potter's house, and I got to bring this out because some people come to potter's house expecting to see finished product. If it's finished product, it's not in the potter's house. It's in the showcase somewhere being sold. Being the potter, he's still in the potter's house. He's still working on it. And I say that because some people come into church and they start looking around them and they start looking at all the blemishes on everybody else. You ever seen anybody like that? Surely we don't have anybody like that here. If you do, straighten up. But they come to church. I've seen people come to church and they cross their arms and they act like they're better than everybody else. And they're out pointing at everybody else's fault and how they pick on the preacher and they pick on this person. They pick on that person and they're talking about what they don't like and they do like and they beat everybody up around them. Let me say, all that is mired clay judging mired clay. That is all that is. Just messed up clay. Judging messed up clay. Let me explain it like this. You don't go to the hospital. People don't go to the hospital. They pull into the hospital, get in the parking lot, and they walk in the front door and say, "Oh, my, there's all kinds of sick people in there. I ain't going in there." I've not seen one person do that. People don't walk up and say, "Oh, no, I can't go in there. People are coughing. People are snotting all over the place. There's people bleeding in there. There's people crying in there. There's no way I'm going into that place. There's all kinds of sick people in that hospital." No, that's not what we do. We go to the hospital. We know we're going to see sick people when we walk in the doors. But somewhere in the house, there is a doctor. Somewhere in the house, there is a doctor. And our desire is, we know there's sick people, but we want to come in contact with this doctor because maybe he can help us. And when we come to church on Sunday morning, you're going to sit by sick people. But somewhere in the house is the potter. He says, "Where two or three gather," just takes two or three gather. I'm there also. And somewhere in the house is the potter. And let me say, he changes lives. He changes lives. I'm so grateful. Don't look for finished product when you walk in. You drive by the road and you see a bunch of 2x4s, a bunch of plyboard and some nails. To you, you see a lumber package. But to the carpenter, he sees a house. He already sees the kitchen in that house. It's just all laying there on the ground. Right? I can walk by a big old chunk of rock. All I see is a rock, but a sculptor sees a statue that he's waiting to carve out. And when I walk through by a white piece of canvas, all I see is a white piece of canvas, but some painter walks by that and sees a priceless masterpiece just not painted yet. And let me say, when I look at Jimmy Johnson in the mirror, all I see is what's wrong with me. But I believe when God looks at you, he doesn't look at all the problems. He doesn't look at all the miredness in you. He doesn't see all the problems with you. I believe he sees a priceless masterpiece that's in his hands that he's shaping and that he's molding into what he desires it to be. I like that. I'm so grateful we have a potter willing to put his hands on us. And he's shaping this pot into what he... In verse 4, it says, shaping it as seems best to who? Him. Shaping it what seems best to him. I'd say quit trying to mold yourself. You don't even know what you're supposed to look like. How about that? Quit trying to mold yourself. You don't even know what you're supposed to be looking. Just yield to the potter's hands. We're trying to fix too much. Let God, quit worrying about all that other stuff. Let God put his hands on you and be in tune to the Holy Spirit, and then let him mold you and shape you into what who desires? He desires, not you. We get that mixed up sometimes, don't we? Lord, this is what I really desire to be. This is who I really desire. I said, I already know what you're supposed to look like. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. What do you see? I see the potter. It's important to see the potter. You got to see the potter when you come to his house. I see the clay. It's important to understand what the clay looks like. And I see the wheel. I love this. This wheel represents the circumstances and situations in our life. You ever see an old potter's wheel? That's a piece of stone down there, and the potter kicks it, and it makes the wheel turn. Takes his foot, he sits there, and he kicks it, and the faster he kicks that stone, the faster that wheel's turning. My mom had one of them Singer sewing machines, had that little foot pedal on the bottom of it. My mom, me and Stephen, we had some fun with that. Yeah, there's a reason it doesn't work anymore. It's all Stephen's fault. We get that thing going. Y'all know that kind of sewing machine I'm talking about? You pump that little foot pedal. Buddy, we get that thing. We get it humming like it was going to explode. We had that thing running. As a matter of fact, if you slap that thing about every third time on the way down, you can make that thing sing. Woo! You have to make sure your mom's out of the house when you do it. And me and Stephen, we'd see how fast we could make that thing go. And I say that because sometimes in my life, it feels like that potter's kicking that wheel as hard as he can. My life feels, there's been seasons in my life, it felt like my life was spinning out of control. Can anybody relate to that? I just felt like my life was spinning out of control. Maybe you come here today and your life feels like it's spinning out of control. Maybe at work it's not running like you want it to go and it's spinning. Maybe with family, maybe with relationships, it's spinning out of control. Maybe with school, maybe with your health. We all have areas in our life where our life is spinning out of control at times. So let me say, it's not your job to control the speed of the wheel. We all think we're in control of the speed of the wheel. You're not in control of the speed of the wheel. Who's in control of the speed of the wheel? The potter is. God is. Now, we have what we call free will. And free will is we can take ourselves off of that wheel. We can pull ourselves off of that wheel and choose not to be. That's free will. I don't want to be spun no more, Lord. I'm going to take myself off of this wheel. I'm pulling myself off. I'm tired of being... It's spinning too fast for me, Lord. It's not going the way I want it to go. I'm going to pull myself off of the wheel. We can do that. That's called free will. But I say stay on the wheel. Your choice is, and it's hard, when life is spinning out of control, don't go off the wheel. You stay on the wheel. You just stay on the wheel. I know life is spinning out of control. It feels like it's a mess right now, but you just stay on the wheel. Let me say it like this. You stay in the will of God. That's your job. Your job sometimes not to fix everything that's going on around you. Your job is just to stay in the will of God. God's controlling the speed of the wheel, not you. I love this. That wheel, it's going around and around and around and around. That wheel keeps going round and around and around and around. I love it, Terry. I love this part because that wheel keeps spinning. That wheel keeps spinning. And it keeps going what? Around and around. And you're right. And I got to tell you, this is my favorite part of this sermon because that wheel keeps spinning around and around because my Jesus loves you enough, he loves me enough to give us another turn. Sometimes a second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh turn. He loves me enough to keep spinning me on that wheel. Aren't you glad of that? We have a God that can give us second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. My God loves me enough to put his hands on me. My God loves me enough to take his knife and cut some stuff out of me that shouldn't be there. My God loves me enough sometimes to even throw me in the fire to warm me up a little bit to get me straight. My God loves me enough to give me a second chance. That he takes his time to mold me. and to shape me. Some of you come here today and you just need to come in contact with the immovable mover, the potter. You come here and you've been singing about him a lot, but it's coming time you just need to be in contact with him again. Some of you come here and you just need to take that next step in your walk with the Lord. Some of you just need to take that next step with the walk with the Lord. It's important that you take that next step. We all have another step in our faith that we need to be taking. I don't care how old you are. You might have been baptized. You might have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ a long time ago. But you always have another step to go. Maybe it's a step in love. Maybe it's a step in faith. Maybe it's a step in kindness. We all have another step to take, don't we? I got a phone call and said, "Hey, Jimmy, I want you to come up here." And it was from a dear friend of mine. Her name's Pam Brock. I love her to death. She said, "I need you to come to Indianapolis. I need to meet with you and Steve." That's like you saying, "I want to meet with you, Jimmy, and Mark." Steve was a guy I worked with up in Indianapolis for years. And Pam's been sick. She's been real sick. And I've been worried about her, been praying for her. And when she called me and asked me and Steve to meet with her, I got to tell you, I think I even told you, Mark, I don't look forward to this conversation. Because I know what's going to be in this conversation. And all the way to Plainfield, Indiana, my heart was in my stomach. I was dreading having the conversation of what Pam's funeral would look like. I was sick all the way there. I pull into Culver, Steve, I meet him there. Pam and her husband, Wayne, they show up. We have some small talk. You know how that conversation goes, Derek. We just have a little small talk at the table. And then all of a sudden she said, "Boys, you know why I brought you here?" And I'm thinking, "I think I do, but I don't want to be the one to say it." She said, "You know, the reason I brought you here was because, well, I've been looking out my window, and there's a church across the street, and they only got about a handful of people there. They're going to die, Jimmy. They're going to die. So I think we ought to do VBS for them." I got to tell you, I was never so happy in my life. I looked at her and I said, "Pam, I think it's a great idea. Matter of fact, I'll bring me and my whole family. We'll come and help you. You just tell us when. We'll clean our calendar off and we'll come and help you. If this is what you want to do," here she is sick and here she looking out her window seeing a church that needs to be revived. She needs to do something to help them because they're going to die if they don't. "We want to do a VBS to help them out." I said, "Pam, you just tell me when and where. My calendar's free, I will be there to help you do whatever I need, whatever you want me to do." And then I thought, here's a lady, sick, been given limited time on this earth, and she's looking for that next step. Wow. Not thinking about herself, worried about that church that's going to die. So let's do something to help them. What's your next step? What's your next step in faith? Maybe you need to be baptized. You've been putting it off for a long time. How about getting that fixed today? No better day than today. Some of you come in and I've been thinking about rededicating your life. How about today? Some of you have been thinking about placing membership here. Okay, how about today? Let's just take that step. You don't need to walk out of here and overthink it. Just take that step and watch God bless. Take that step and watch God bless. Because I'm going to tell you, the potter, he doesn't want you to carry around any burdens anymore this week. He wants you to lay them down before you leave this place. And so, I'm grateful. Aren't we grateful for a potter that gives us another turn? Aren't you grateful for that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. To be in your presence, to have the opportunity to come to you, to be in contact with you, to have you change our lives, Father. We pray that you would continue to bless this church, that you continue to put your hands on us, that you continue to mold us, that you continue to help us and deliver us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.